The more I read the words of Jesus alone, the red letter version of, well, the Gospels mostly, it's very clear to me. It's abundantly clear. And actually, this has always been clear to me throughout my life, although I didn't know why, but that Christ is all about love. And I believe that a lot of churches like to really overcomplicate things because, well, it's kind of for the same reason that scientists like to really overcomplicate science, and they speak their own secret language so that only they can claim to be the experts on this very convoluted, very complex topic. And if you want to learn anything about science, you have to go to the scientists. Only they are the high priests of scientific knowledge. Well, you see the same thing in the history of the church. The high priests of religious knowledge or spiritual knowledge, and it's this convoluted, complex system of all these rules and all these interpretations and all these languages and all these, you know, covenants, and they make it convoluted for the same reason, so that you have to go to them to find answers to life. They want to be the high priest of, you know, spirituality, religion, etc. And overall, one of the functions of the church, I know that's a generic term, but this includes the Roman Catholic Church for sure, has been to try to convince people that you can't be saved without them, that you can't have a relationship with God or with Christ without the church in the middle of that relationship. And frankly, that is completely false. What Christ teaches is that God is within us, God is with us, that we are all children of God. We all reflect God's Spirit. And that's why, as Jesus taught, that if you harm others, or if you fail to help others, if you fail to feed and clothe the poor, then you are failing to feed and clothe God. Or Christ, as he was saying in that particular verse, because we are all connected. We are all connected because we are all children of God. And the way you treat other people is literally the way you are treating God. So contrast the message of Jesus with what most churches teach today, both Catholic and Christian churches in particular. The churches teach that God is not within you, God is outside you, and that you have to work through the church in order to be recognized by God, but you can't do it yourself with a relationship with God, that you can't just have a personal relationship even with Christ. You have to have our interpretation. Whereas Christ taught that you are already part of God, or God is within you, and all you have to do is to allow God to work through you. And the main thesis of what Jesus taught is so simple. It's not complicated. It is love. It's love for others. Christ energy is love energy. Antichrist energy is hate energy. So when you see people who are completely infused with hatred, just raving, filled with hatred and mad all the time, that is an Antichrist demonstration. Whereas people who are filled with love, that is obviously a pro-Christ vibration. Now, of course, we have to have discernment, which a lot of people like to condemn you for having discernment by saying, oh, you're judging people. Well, of course, we have to judge the difference between good and evil. If we can't tell the difference between good and evil, then we are lost. Our souls are lost. And fortunately, telling the difference between good and evil is very easy. We are actually born with it. It's part of who we are. If you see someone starving children, bombing children, mutilating children, sexually abusing children, etc., trafficking children, right? Very easy to say, yeah, that's evil. Something is wrong with that. That is not an unjustified judgment. That is correct judgment. So, yes, we must judge the difference between good and evil. The Bible verse is talking about, do not judge others, lest you be judged. That's referring to two things. Number one, get your own house in order first. Look inward for the work that you need to do yourself before going out and condemning others, right? So, you know, don't be a troll just condemning everybody else. Oh, you're bad and you're bad and you're bad, when you have your own stuff in your own life that you probably need to work on, because we all do. We all have something that we can be better about. You know, we can grow and we can learn in our own lives. But secondly, that verse also implies in the greater context that you should not unfairly judge others. Not unfairly. Now, it's critical to fairly discern the difference between good and evil, like I said, which means it's critical to fairly judge what is happening. You have to have a compass. So judgment about what is happening is a compass that hopefully your compass is aligned with the teachings of Christ, which is rooted in universal love. So that compass is basically it's a judgment, it's a gauge that tells you what's going on, so that if you're interacting with a person and that person starts to say some really evil, horrible things, or that person starts to treat you unfairly or to treat others unfairly, then you are expected to be able to recognize that and perhaps to try to de-escalate the situation, or perhaps pray for that person. Perhaps you may have to forgive that person. Perhaps you may have to distance yourself from that person because they're working out their demons and their journey of healing, etc. And maybe they're just not ready for an interaction right now. All those things are possibilities, but you have to have the compass, which is a kind of judgment or discernment, in order to know how to deal with people who have their own stuff going on. Now, let me give you an example of what happens when you have a lack of judgment in society. That's when you see society claim, quote, love wins in the context of transgender perverts sexually abusing children. So the phrase love wins is a perversion of the universal love of Christ. It's a perversion by an anti-Christ movement in order to justify their sexual perversions by abusing children. But if you tell them that's wrong, they want to say to you, oh, judge not. You cannot judge us. That's not Christian. Right? And you've probably seen some of this. Well, of course we have to have discernment about pedophiles and about those who are sexually abusing children. Of course that's wrong. Of course those people must be stopped, because they are preying on the powerless. They are preying on the innocent. They are preying on, you know, young children of God, like actual children of God, who cannot fend for themselves. And so those children need the rest of us, the adults, the parents, the community leaders, to step in and defend them, defend the innocent children against the predators. And in order to do that, we have to have judgment. We have to have an internal compass. So someone who looks at everything and says, it's all good because God willed all of it, well, that person will end up accepting pedophilia, accepting murder, accepting liars and cowards into their lives. And those are precisely the things that, well, God's angels taught against, and, well, God himself taught against in the Old Testament, but also Jesus spoke against in various ways. And those are all things that we have to reject in our lives. And obviously we have to have discernment in order to do that. But again, it's not that complicated. For the most part, you know evil when you see it. Or, you know evil acts when you observe those acts. I'm not saying that just by looking at a person's face. I'm saying by observing their acts, you know whether they are good or evil. And this speaks to the importance of understanding deeds. How Christ taught that it is your deeds that demonstrate your faith in God. Whereas in contrast to that, Paul and the Pauline factions of Christianity, which is most mainstream Christianity, by the way, taught that no, your deeds don't matter. Your deeds are nothing but filthy rags. Your deeds don't matter. All that matters is that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior, and then you are saved. It doesn't matter what you do. And that's obviously wrong. Jesus disagrees with that. God disagrees with that. Your deeds matter, and your deeds demonstrate your faith, and your deeds demonstrate your person, you know? So your deeds actually demonstrate to God and the universe what kind of person you are. If you are a good person who cares about others, your deeds will reflect that you are trying to help others with maybe varying degrees of success. I mean, that describes like my entire professional life is trying to help people and sometimes being frustrated that people don't listen. That seems to be just a fact of where we are here right now. You know, I try to help people by saying, don't take the death jabs, you know, don't undergo chemotherapy because it's poison, right? All these kinds of things. And to parents, you know, don't jab your newborns with 57 vaccines. But people don't always listen, of course. So we do the best we can with the resources that we have, but we're always coming from a place of trying to help others, trying to help end suffering and to uplift people and to spread knowledge and to spread truth. And that counts for a lot. And it's also very important. Again, I'm not making this complicated. These are all really obvious, simple things. But the way you treat others is also demonstrated by your humility versus your arrogance. And this is something that I've noticed over all the years, being around people who are poor and people who are wealthy, people who are successful and you know, people who are not, etc. But when I see people treat the help like dirt, like if they treat waiters and waitresses like dirt, or if they have an in-house, you know, chef or a cleaner or whatever, if they treat them like dirt, that's a bad person. And especially, it's about the way they treat animals. When people treat animals like dirt, or they abuse animals and they don't have kindness towards animals, that is a very strong indicator that that is a person who lacks moral integrity. The way you treat animals basically reflects the light within you or the darkness, depending on what you do. You'll notice that many of the demonic Satan worshipers, what do? They sacrifice cats and things like that. You know, they capture animals and they torture and kill them because that's a reflection of who they are, or maybe a satanic infiltration or infestation of their body. But the way you treat animals says a lot about who you are. And Jesus spoke about this, and he despised the sacrifice of animals in the name of God, you know, especially in the temple, etc. Jeremiah spoke about this. Many of the Old Testament prophets or writers spoke about this needless sacrifice. Even God himself spoke about this in the Old Testament, saying that, you know, I'm tired of all the animals you're killing, and the floors are running with blood, but none of you have changed. You know, you're not better people because you're killing the bulls and killing the lambs. You're not any better. So stop it. I don't want to see any more animals killed in my name. And this is why I challenge Christians who are sport hunters to think about what you are doing. To kill an animal for sport is completely out of alignment with the teachings of Christ. It really is. And of course, I'm pro Second Amendment. I support self-defense. I'm myself an accomplished long-range, you know, rifle shooter, but I've never shot an animal. I've never hunted an animal with my rifles. I shoot steel plates. I shoot, you know, sometimes paper targets sighting in, but long range, it's steel plates. And that's what I hunt, is steel plates. I mean, I would not think that killing an animal is a form of accomplishment, because Christ condemns that. And so some of you listening might be hunters, and it's part of your culture, and you hunt animals for sport, and you've always done that. It's something you did maybe with your father, typically, or your grandfather, something you do with your culture. And then you go to church, and then you praise Jesus and you pray to God. Well, those two practices, hunting and killing animals for sport, and then going to church and praising God, those are opposites. Those are clearly opposites. And Jesus does not want you to kill animals for sport. Clearly. Animals have consciousness. Animals are also, I'm not saying they're the same as humans, but they are also creations of God. And animals have consciousness. Every animal, the highest to the lowest, has its own perspective. You know, cows have their own memories, their own points of view, their own families, their own mothers, their own emotions, their own fears. And, you know, this is even an argument of, you know, vegetarians and vegans. And it's an argument that eating animals is cruelty to animals because of the way they are killed or raised. And this is why it's critical to be mindful of where your food comes from and how the animals are treated, etc. And yes, I do eat meat from time to time, not a lot. I certainly don't make it the primary part of my diet. But yeah, I eat meat from time to time. And I go out of my way to purchase like beef products from local farmers who have free-range cows. And then I give honor and thanks to the lives of those cows. It's more like a Native American approach of honoring the animal that is helping to give you life. But, you know, most Christians today, they're just mindless, just eating, you know, hamburgers and chicken sandwiches with not a thought at all about the animal from which that flesh came. And that mindless attitude about where your meat comes from is itself, I think, a disconnect from the Christ energy, which is an energy of love. But if you are mindful and if you are honoring the animal, and I understand that hunting for survival in a situation of starvation, I can understand that and I can justify that. I could even do that myself. If I were starving, would I shoot a rabbit to have a few meals? Yes, I would. But I would do so mindfully. Or would I shoot a wild hog in order to not starve or to feed my family, like literally in a situation of starvation? Yes, I would. But again, I would do so mindfully. It's the perspective that we bring to it that actually really matters. So let us be mindful in all that we do. Let us remember that the Christ energy is an energy of universal love. And we must express love if we wish to be closer to God, express love for each other. And it's okay to have discernment, obviously. And we should not love those who are harming others. Perhaps in certain circumstances, we may forgive them. But universal love should be the basis, the pillar of our interactions with animals and with people and the world. And then from time to time, yeah, we have to exercise self-defense or we have to exercise discernment. We have to stop pedophiles from hurting children. And that is necessary from time to time as well, and hence the sword, etc. But be mindful of all of this, and thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, and my church is the Church of Natural Abundance. You can find me at abundance.church. Thank you for listening. God bless. Take care. Hi, Mom, and to all the moms out there, we appreciate you. Happy Mother's Day from myself, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and healthrangerstore.com. We greatly appreciate all the moms out there and the dedication that you have for creating a healthier, happier future for your children and grandchildren. And thank you for everything that you've done to help humanity be, well, better as we move forward. And to help celebrate that and to help make healthy living more affordable in this time when so many products are becoming more expensive, we have put together a special for you as part of our Mother's Day sale event. And this is called Mom's Ultimate Pamper Kit.
And if you look at it there, let me walk through it. It's got the coconut oil, which has, you know, a multitude of uses, the shea butter, the body oil there, and then a colloidal silver spray, the colloidal silver deodorant. Then we have the tea tree and lavender shampoo, and then our colloidal silver mouthwash that with citrus fresh. That's actually my favorite one right there. And all of these are put together at a substantial discount. That's about 40% off the price if you were to purchase them separately. And these days, I mean, you're not going to get, you know, 40% off almost anything. So this is a special kit with a gift, which is the pine needle spray that has silver and iodine in it. That's the spray. Show that again. That's the spray that you see in the center there, just to left of center. That's not, you can't even buy that at the store. That's only as a gift, pine needle spray with silver and iodine. And then also, by the way, the silver fresh liquid deodorant has, it's made with magnesium and baking soda. So no aluminum. We don't use aluminum ingredients at all. You know, we don't use synthetic fragrances. We don't do any of that toxic stuff. These are ultra clean, all laboratory tested, and all available as a discount to you to say thank you during this Mother's Day special. And these prices are good while supplies last, or it ends on May 11th. But, oh, and you can find it at healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. All one word, no space, just healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. You'll also get double points during this special event, which is really extraordinary. It's almost 10% back that you get in points that you can spend on future purchases. That combined with the discount that we have in this kit makes this an unbeatable value. You're just not going to see this again, especially given, you know, what's happening to the supply chain right now. So check it out, Mom's Ultimate Pamper Kit. And remember, those of you who are dads watching this, you can get this, you know, get this for your wife, get this for the mom in your life. She'll love it. She'll absolutely love it. So think about moms and grandmothers, wives, anybody who just deserve to be recognized for the contributions they've made to this world. This is a perfect gift for them. They'll absolutely love it. Again, it's called Mom's Ultimate Pamper Kit. It's available at healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day, and you get double points. Order before May 1st if you can in order to guarantee delivery before Mother's Day, although it still may work in the days after that, but we just can't absolutely guarantee it. So order sooner rather than later to take advantage of this. And thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of healthrangerstore.com.